So what I'm going to do is just do a little bit to kind of set up this afternoon, basically. So if you've got your Bible, carry on into chapter 4 of Nehemiah. And we're going to look at just the first few verses. And I'm always going to create a little bit of a cliffhanger, because the first few verses of chapter 4 are quite negative. The first few verses of chapter 4 are about conflict and opposition. And we're not going to get to how Nehemiah dealt with it until after lunch. All right? But I know you want your lunch, so we don't want to get to that. So I'm going to kind of like set it up, give you 10, 15 minutes of just the conflict, the opposition. We will look at how Nehemiah dealt with that after lunch. We'll look at how Nehemiah persevered and how God helped him and how we can persevere with conflict and opposition. We'll look at that after lunch. But let's just set it up and continue looking through the book of Nehemiah. And what I love about Nehemiah is it's so practical. It's so real and it's so practical. A well-known writer called G.K. Chesterton said this: "The Bible tells us to love our neighbor and also love our enemies, probably because they're generally the same people," which I thought was an interesting quote. Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem, as we're about to read, and things are going very well. The wall is probably about half built, and things are looking good. In general, people are working together, different gates, different parts of the wall. Everyone is working together. The church is working together. There's unity. There's harmony. Things are going well. Then comes chapter 4. Then comes opposition, trials, and difficulty. Just before we look at this, let me say, if you are experiencing conflict, if there's opposition, if there are things that aren't easy, then often that can be a sign that God's at work. Things are happening. The Jews experienced this opposition and this difficulty because things were going well, because they were rebuilding the wall. And opposition is always an opportunity for us to grow. It's always an opportunity for us to grow. We may not like it. We may wish there was another way, but opposition is always an opportunity for us to grow. So let me just quickly, before lunch, in 10 minutes, look at the opposition and the conflict that Nehemiah experienced. Firstly, he experienced ridicule from verse 1 to 6. Chapter 4. "When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, 'What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?' Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, 'Ha, what are they building? Even a fox climbing on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heels. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders.'" Shakespeare said that ridicule is paper bullets to our brains. Some people can withstand the pressures of war or a fight, man on man, but you start ridiculing them or laughing at them and they collapse. It is not unusual for the enemy to insult the servants of God. David was insulted by Goliath. Jesus was mocked and insulted by the soldiers. Sanballat and his friends had began to ridicule the Jews even before the work began. You can read the first reference in chapter 2 and verse 19. They popped up their heads at that point in the story before any work had started. But now that the work was beginning and the wall was taking shape, there they were, Sanballat and Tobiah, ridiculing the Jews as they worked. It says there in verse 2, feeble Jews. Basically, the word feeble in Hebrew means a flower that wilts. He was ridiculing them. This is pathetic. This is going to wither. This is going to be nothing. This is just hopeless what you are doing. He ridiculed their work, ridiculed the materials that they were using, ridiculed, oh, you're using the old stones. You're using the rubble. Pah, that's going to fall down in one touch. It's going to fall down with one rainstorm. Tobiah, in verse 3, he says, look, even a fox climbing on the wall would break this silly wall of stones. Humanly, ridicule is difficult. Humanly, there can even be some truth in some of our ridicule that we experience or the Jews here experienced. Yes, they weren't builders. Yes, they were doing something they'd never done before. Yes, the materials weren't perfect. But they had a great God. They had faith in a great God. We'll look in more in detail after lunch about what Nehemiah did and how he combated their ridicule. But it's interesting to see that again he prayed. Again he turned their ridicule to prayer in verse 4 and verse 5. Again, as I said before, we're going to look at the answers and how we deal with opposition and conflict after lunch. But I just want to highlight the different things that we can face. One thing we often face doing God's work is ridicule. Ha, it'll fall apart. Ha, it's not very good. Ha, what chance have you got? The second thing that the Israelites experienced in verse 7 to 9 is intimidation. But when Sambalat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. The city was surrounded by these different enemies who were all united in hatred of the Jews. I think it's fascinating that so often the world around us can unite against Christians and against the church. But the church sometimes fights within itself and is so bad at unity. Yet the world, here, the Arabs, the Ammonites, Sambalat, Tobiah, different nationalities and different groups unite in their hatred of the Jews. We can feel the full force of opposition and intimidation so often. A common enemy coming against us. But what does Nehemiah do when this opposition, this intimidation comes? What does he do? He posts a guard and he prays. Again, we'll look at this after lunch. But Nehemiah understands that there's both practical action that needs to be taken and a spiritual battle that takes place. It's both. Sometimes we're very good at the spiritual battle and we neglect the practical. Other times we're very good at the practical and we neglect the spiritual. But as Christians, as it tells us in Ephesians 6, we don't just battle with flesh and blood. There's powers and principalities and a Satan who hates the work of God. So again, we'll look at this after lunch, but Nehemiah models to us so well, fighting practically and spiritually. And then the final opposition in chapter 4. There's ridicule, there's intimidation, and then there's fear. Let's read from verse 10. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us, 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." The Israelites were afraid. They were fearful of the armies who were around the city. They were rightly, in a way, fearful of what they perceived as a great threat against them. And fear is one of the biggest weapons that Satan uses to stop the purposes of God being achieved. If you go back to Numbers in the Old Testament, further back, Numbers, when the spies were sent out, Moses sent out the spies to go and spy out the promised land. 10 of the spies saw the promised land, and all they saw was fear. They saw the giants of the land. They thought, "We cannot take this land." All they saw was giants, apart from 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb. They didn't see the giants of the land. They didn't see fear. They saw the fruit of the land. They saw the bounteous beauty of the land. And they said, "God has given us this land." Unfortunately, the Israelites listened to the fear of the 10. And for 40 years, they wandered around the wilderness before taking the promised land. Fear is such a big issue, such a big obstacle to seeing God's purposes worked out. What's interesting is Nehemiah did not pay much attention to the fear and the complaints of the Israelites. He just got on with the work. He just carried on, practically stationing guards, and he kept on praying. He didn't get distracted by the fear. He noted it, he acted, and then he kept on going. Now we'll look at this in greater detail, the rest of chapter 4 and a little bit on in chapter 5 and chapter 6 after lunch. But I just wanted to set it up. All of us will face opposition of various types, individually and as a church. Often they fall into those camps of ridicule, intimidation, and fear. We'll look after lunch at how Nehemiah dealt with that opposition and that conflict. But here's the thing to finish with before lunch. We shouldn't be surprised or upset or put off by conflict and opposition. It is part of being a Christian. It's part of the Christian life. Don't be surprised by it. If the church is working together, if things are happening, then there will be opposition. There will be conflict. There will be challenges. We're not to be put off by that, but we're to have wisdom on how to deal practically with that opposition and conflict. And then we're to make sure that we realize that there's a spiritual battle going on. And we're to pray. And we're to realize that God is on our side.